Good morning and welcome to The Business of Living, the show that brings you strategies and practical solutions for managing your life and career. I'm your host, Scott Ventrella. Well, folks, it is that time of the year again. My high schoolers have just finished their last day. They've done their exams. They've finished their last day of school. And you know the way that goes. There's that whole range of emotions that goes on. So, you know, the bus pulls up. In the afternoon, the kids are leaping and bounding off the steps of the bus and throwing their books all over the place. My kids actually have, there's an annual ritual where they have a bonfire. And yes, we do that right on the front lawn. Yeah, you've heard it. Right. We've got, and it's not a fire pit. We just kind of make a fire pit for the kids. You throw some rocks in a circle like the old campfire thing, but instead of toasting, you know, weenies and marshmallows, we're throwing their schoolwork in there. It's been an annual ritual. So that's at one end of things. But of course, on the other end, in terms of the range of emotions, that bus rounds the corner. The kids come leaping and bounding off the steps of the bus, striking terror and fear into the souls of parents everywhere, especially, you know, stay-at-home parents. So we're going to do talk a little bit about how do you keep your kids busy, right? Isn't that the key? My gosh, you know, for the kids, it's all they're thinking about is this endless joy and fun until, you know, the next school year rolls around. But parents, and especially the stay-at-home moms and dads, okay, oh my gosh, how can I do this? How can I keep my kids busy and maintain my sanity and maybe even have a little bit of fun? Well, here to talk to us a little bit about this topic, which I think is extremely timely, is Dr. Cindy Bunin, a.k.a. Dr. Budinsky. Well, Cindy, I'm going to ask Dr. Cindy about that in just a second. Cindy is a therapist and Panasonic's national spokesperson for the Bring Back Family Time campaign, founder of Mommy and Me, and author of the book Parenting, Unplugged, 365 Fun, Practical Ways to Get Unplugged and Connect with Your Kids. Blending warmth with firsthand experience on modern-day life issues, Dr. Budinsky, a.k.a. Dr. Cindy, a marriage and family therapist and child development specialist, has worked closely with thousands of families, couples, children, and teens over the past 30 years. She must have started very early. I've got a picture of her here and just can't be. She was honored by being chosen for the 2004-2005 Who's Who in American Women. Dr. Cindy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Yes, I did. I started when I was 15.
Okay, I thought so. You know, back then, you know, the child labor laws were much more lenient, much more relaxed. So my wife is actually very much looking forward to this show because, okay, of course, she's one of the many, probably millions of parents who are now, oh, boy, here we go. What do we do? But first, I've got to ask you, the Dr. Budinsky, now, how did you earn that moniker?
From the time I was a little girl, I was always butting into everybody's business, trying to help them and do things and make things better. And as I grew older, everybody said, oh, Cindy, you're just such a Budinsky. And then several years ago, somebody said, you know, no, you're Dr. Budinsky. And I went, well, there you go. That's a great name. So that's my nickname, Dr. Budinsky.
Dr. Budinsky. But I would imagine you do that in a, you know, are you in people's faces? Are you telling them how they should live their lives? You know, because usually we think of a Budinsky, we think of somebody who, you know, hey, look, manage your own life. Leave me alone.
Right. I mean, I know that's it. Let's put it this way. I do it in a warm, friendly way. Okay. I do it in a way that embraces people and they actually do listen to me. I mean, you know, a typical example is, you know, even the other day when I was in L.A. on a business trip and I heard this dog barking. And before I knew it, I went over to see where the dog was and somebody had locked the dog in the car. And it was hot out, and he came over, and I said, you know, you can't do this. Oh, it's okay, it's okay. I said, you just can't do this. I said, how would you feel sitting in that car when it's 90 degrees out with the windows rolled up? And he got it. So I didn't, you know, beat him over the head or anything like that. I just tried to explain to him what it was like, and it's the same thing with parents and kids. I'll say, you know, there are other ways of handling this situation. You don't have to hit your child. So I try to do it in a way that they're going to listen and not, you know, feel threatened.
No,
the only way I'm going to get anywhere.
No, listen, I think more people need to do that. But like you said, in a in a warm and caring and friendly manner. It reminds me of just a few months ago when my 15-year-old son was making his confirmation, and I'm actually a catechist, so I was there, and there was standing room only. And there was a gentleman, a father, with several young kids in the pew to my right. And through this very sacred ceremony, he and the kids are on their iPhones. And they're playing games and they're sharing things. And they're being somewhat quiet, but they're and by the way, his daughter is being confirmed. So I'm letting go for about 15 minutes, and I'm beginning to seethe a little bit because I and the other catechists, you know, we've spent months preparing these kids for, again, arguably one of the most sacred sacraments in the Catholic Church in this case. And I'm generally not a Budinsky. I live and let live and, you know, people make mistakes kind of a thing. But I had to do something. So I very quietly knelt down next to him because, again, I had been standing and I said, sir, is your daughter being confirmed today? And he said yes, and he had a smile. He didn't know where I was going with this. And I said, and I'm whispering, didn't want to make a spectacle. And I said, well, I'd really appreciate it if you could give this the proper respect, you know, that it deserves. And at first he shot me a look like he wanted to take my head off.
I'm sure, but, you know, then he looked where he was.
And he shut it down. Meanwhile, by the way, the kids were all still on their gadgets. But then during the later on in the service, there's a little bit of there's the shake of peace. And I thought, well, he's probably going to, you know, he's not going to shake my hand. Well, he turned to me and he actually stepped out of the pew and said, thank you for that. And he shook my hand. And then he got the other kids to shut the machines off. So anyway, sorry for that. But
you're exactly right, because that's what I'm talking about in the Parenting Unplugged. It's that we don't unplug even when we're in a sacred place.
Exactly.
We don't unplug.
Thank you.
So are you kidding me? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I think, you know, I think most parents want to do the right thing. And but are just, you know, simply not aware. So, again, going back to the subject of, and I don't know, maybe I was a little bit overly dramatic, but I'm just thinking of all the parents that, you know, at this time of the year, like, oh, my gosh, how am I going to keep, you know, my son, my daughter, my kids busy? I'd love to hear your thoughts on that because, well, I'm going to hold off on my own views because, as people know, I have many, many opinions, and among others is, you know, I don't want to babysit my kids and I don't want to have to be their camp director either. But anyway, this is about you and your thoughts and your views.
Well, you know, it really does depend, of course, obviously on the age of the children. You know, you have to start, you know, at the age level that they're at. I mean, you know, if we're talking specifically about, you know, stay-at-home parents, you really kind of have to have some kind of schedule with your children, especially the little ones. They still need structure. Little ones need structure more than older ones do. And, you know, what I recommend to parents is I know I heard what you said, you don't want to have a day camp or something like that, but if you're a stay-at-home parent and you have children, it's really the best thing to do. And what I say is to try to get people that, you know, like their friends. So, for example, if you have two kids, then try to get four or five kids so they're together, and it's easier. Maybe the parents can take turns, you know, doing certain activities. So it's sort of like a co-op that you're all cooperating and helping each other. Mm. But it's the same kind of thing. Get up in the morning. I tell parents to definitely, you know, keep their kids on a schedule, to get up in the morning, have breakfast, make sure they have their breakfast, then choose some kind of activity, then have a break for lunch. Then, you know, maybe sit down and have some downtime. Then do a physical activity. Then do an art project. Then do something with music. And there's so many things you can do that are free that you do not have to pay for. And, I mean, I can get into specifics about that. But in general, it's really important to stay on a schedule and try to think ahead, be with other moms and dads, and try to, you know, make a plan that maybe you take turns. If somebody needs a day off, then maybe another parent can take a turn, so you're not feeling so overwhelmed. And that's what, you know, co-oping is all about.
So let's start with, because you make a really great point. I've got a soon-to-be 18-year-old now driving. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, graduating from high school, you know, be going on to college. So that means
congratulations.
So thank you. But it's a different deal. So now there is a curfew in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. You can't drive. You have to be back in the house by, you know, 11 o'clock. You can't be driving at 11 o'clock, I should say.
Right.
And you can't drive your friends up until she's 18, actually.
That's
my point is this. the, you know, dealing with teenagers, and then my other mm-hmm. child is 15, a freshman in high school, again, had his last day yesterday at school. But there are differences now that I've had the benefit of being able to kind of look back. So walk us through, and I'd like to break it into two categories. So we've got the stay-at-home mom or dad or parents, mm-hmm. and then we have those at work. Let's start with the stay-at-home. And if we could, I'll take your guidance on this. So for younger kids, whatever that range is, you know, pick one that where you can kind of categorize those, where we can think of some strategies, and then we'll talk about perhaps those that are like my son, 15, too young to really have a work permit, mm-hmm. Does not drive, doesn't have a car, and I remember that age, especially as a boy. It was the toughest of for me anyway, because you're too old to be playing the silly, you know, kid games, the neighborhood games,
right.
more or less, and
right.
and but not old enough to be driving or working or doing other kinds of things. So anyway, if we could just kind of break that into two pieces relative to age groups or categories, or maybe three. There may be more in your mind.
There's about eight.
There are about eight. Okay. So why don't you, if you could, please just take us through that.
Okay. Well, you know, my one and only child is now 22, so I've been through the whole gamut as well. You know, of course, when they're little, they need supervision. We know that. And, you know, you use the basics. You know, you can do arts and crafts. You can do music. You can, you know, use a TV when you need to. I don't like it as a babysitter, but if there's just sit down and watch a movie, you know, get all the kids around to watch a movie, pop some popcorn, you know, it's some downtime. You know, so, but I would like, let's go through a day. Okay, let's pick a day, any day. So I get up and I said I had breakfast, but have the kids help you make breakfast. Don't make breakfast for them. Involve them. So it becomes something fun, because now that you don't have to be in school in the morning, there's not a rush. So these are the stay-at-home moms. Make breakfast together. Every day, make plan a little different menu. That's about an hour right there, okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then pick another activity. You can do an art project. Most of these things you can do cost nothing. You can, you know, make sure you have finger paint and crayons and all kinds of craft things, and do any kind of anything. There are a million places online that you can go. Well, you can actually go to my book, Parenting Unplugged, that has plenty of activities in there, or go online and check out children's activities. So you have just thousands of activities that you can pick, different types of art activities. Then after the art, maybe you want to do something physical, because it's really important that they're not sitting around and becoming couch potatoes. So you can go outside. It's the summer. You can, if you don't have a swimming pool, you can use sprinklers. You can do sliding. You can have a hose and water play. You can do anything physical outside. So you can play ball. I mean, so you have to have a physical. So you're having the cooking in the morning, then you're having the art, then you're doing something physical, then after the physical, then come back in and do a lunch thing. Maybe make your own pizza, do something fun like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun. Then after lunch, then of course it's the downtime. Then you would watch your movie. And I say it's somewhere, probably sometime around, I'd say 3 o'clock already. And then maybe after 3 o'clock, maybe pick another activity to do with your kids. Maybe you want to maybe take them to the library, or take them to the park, or get away from the house. Something free. Once again, or go bike ride.
You know, what I'm loving about this is that you know, many people may think, well, you know, it's gonna be costly. But what these suggestions are actually, all free. Exactly.
They're all free.
Exactly.
And to me, and I think I sent you probably around 60-something activities, 60 or 70 activities that are all free. And we're always thinking, well, we have to spend all this money, but we don't. We don't. So, you know, then, of course, obviously after the park or wherever, you know, whatever outing you go on, then you just come home and it's dinner time. So your day's gone and the kids are exhausted. And you may be exhausted too, but you know, you've had a lot of fun. So if you can either do this by yourself, and then maybe the next day another mom takes the kids, that way you get a little bit of downtime. So, you know, all these things are free, all these things are fun. And, you know, the list is, you know, if we have time later, I'd be happy to just, you know, rattle them off, because there's tons of them.
Fantastic.
So that's for the little ones.
We're coming up to a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit. I'd like to get your views now as we get into, you know, the more of the teen years,
mm-hmm.
and also the you know, internet and you know, the iPhones, and, you know, kind of managing all of that. We're speaking with Dr. Cindy Bunin, and you are listening to The Business of Living. We'll be right back after this break here at 1490 WGCH. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to the Business of Living show, and I'm your host, Scott Ventrella. We're here speaking with Dr. Cindy Bunin, a.k.a. Dr. Podinsky. Cindy's a therapist and Panasonic's national spokesperson for the Bring Back Family Time campaign, founder of Mommy and Me, and author of the book Parenting, Unplugged, 365 Fun, Practical Ways to Get Unplugged and Connect with Your Kids. And that's really what we're talking about, especially over the summer. How do we keep them busy and also keep our sanity and, oh, maybe connect with our kids and have a little fun? So, Cindy, welcome back again.
Thank you.
And let's move now to, okay, we're still dealing with stay-at-home. And I'll say parents because even though I think for the most part we still see more stay-at-home moms, but increasingly, especially with over 8% unemployment, we're seeing some stay-at-home dads and stay-at-home mom and dads.
Absolutely.
But let's stick with that for the time being and talk a little bit about now, which I think is maybe a little bit of a tougher case in some ways, and that's the, you know, more of the either preteens or teenagers.
Right.
So what do we do with them? They're becoming more independent. They've got their own minds. They're sleeping in later, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. So your views on that?
Well, you know, you're right. They are their own little person or their own big person. And, you know, I always tell parents that I like to keep things simple and not battle with them. I mean, let's think about us. We always go, oh, my God, they're sleeping in late. What are they doing? They're not doing anything. They're not being productive. I just call it a gestational stage, like they're cocooning.
Right.
They're going to become butterflies, and that's why they sleep in late, and they're growing, and they're learning while they're sleeping. Because let's face fact, we all slept in, and we're all doing okay. If you really look at that. So I like to tell parents, especially with the older kids, to give them the time to chill out. Really mm-hmm. important. Let them sleep in. Don't bug them about getting up. They've worked really, really hard, well, unless, of course, they have a job. But when they get up, I believe that they need to have maybe some responsibilities around the house that they may normally not have had during the school year because they've been busy with school, to make them still feel productive, you know, such as maybe washing the car, taking the garbage out, helping with the gardening, maybe helping with the younger kids, helping you go food shopping. In other words, make them feel productive and make them feel part of the house and have some responsibilities, you know, as well. Now, they're probably going to want to go do their own thing. They're going to want to be with their friends. And, you know, the rules I have with that, if they're not working, is that they have to let you know where they are. They have to have a curfew. They have to, you know, really be able to follow your rules and regulations because you still are the boss and you still set the boundaries. And even though they are growing and have their own minds, they need to know that they have to answer to somebody. So I believe in letting them do their thing, but having responsibility, you know, around the house and having to check in with you and letting you know where they are at all times.
Now, with so many moms and dads both working, and I remember even it was rare when I was growing up, but I remember there was one friend in the neighborhood who's actually it was a divorce situation. Her mom worked, and a lot of the kids would end up there. Because the place back then, in the air conditioning was very rare, believe it or not. There was air conditioning, no parent home, and I remember, you know, kids would kind of hang out there, watch TV, and smoke. And that was, you know, there wasn't any drinking or anything illegal, but that's not a good situation. So how do you, you know, how do you watch for that, and how do you deal with that? Especially again, you got your teenagers, you're not going to put a GPS on them. So what are your suggestions there? Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, you have to really know your child. You have to know what kind of child you have. You have to know if you have the child who's compliant, will listen, will not get into trouble, be able to hang out during the day with their friends, watch TV and not get into trouble. If you have a child that you know is a troublemaker, and that's okay because there are some who are troublemakers. We've got them all, okay? You need to make sure they have some kind of job. Mm-hmm. And that means, and even at 15, they can become a mother's helper. They can bag groceries. They can work as a counselor in training at a camp, in local camps. You have to make sure they have something to do if you know your child's a troublemaker. It's as simple as that. You have to be responsible and make sure they're covered for the summer. That's your job as their parent. You need to know your child, and you need to know what your child can handle and what cannot handle. So that's really up to you.
Yeah, I'd also add that, in fact, both my wife and I will ask the question, well, you're going to so-and-so's house. Well, you know, who's going to be home?
Exactly. Exactly. You need to know who's going to be there because you know your child. You know, you're going to know your child by 15 or 16. You're going to know what kind of kid you have. You're going to know if you're going to have the rebel rouser who's going to be the one out there experimenting, causing problems. Or, you know, you're going to have the kid that's going to be, you know, pretty compliant. Or the child that's, you know, sort of on the fence. Even with the child on the fence, you have to make sure they have something to do and they have structured activities. It really, I mean, you know, my mom had three of us, three girls. I, of course, was the one who never got into trouble.
Of course.
Then my other two, oh, my God, you know, my mom had to make sure they had something to do. It's just a difference in personalities. You have to look at each child individually and know your kid.
That's a great point. I'm one of seven, so I can clearly completely relate to that. But, again, back then, you know, mom would, you know, toss us all out the door in the morning, and then we'd, you know, come back for lunch, and we would just play in the neighborhood, and then, of course, be back different back then.
So different.
So let's talk about you know, you've got a situation where both parents are working, and so you don't really have you're not able to really keep tabs on things. Or like you said, I agree with you in terms of letting them sleep. I wouldn't let my child sleep the entire day away. But
I'm
not going to get him up at 8 o'clock either.
No, absolutely
at 8 a.m. or 7 a.m. or anything like that.
Absolutely not.
You know, is there a difference? Stay at home mom or dad, or those where you have a situation where both parents are working, they leave early and the kids are just kind of, and I'm also thinking about, you know, with the video games and the internet and things like that. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. And do you restrict certain gadgets or activities on these, you know, PlayStations or the Xbox and so on and so forth? So your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, it's really everything in moderation. I believe in everything in moderation. I know when two parents are away, the kids can really get into trouble on computers. So, you know, the point is if you put parental controls on the computers, if they're going to want to find stuff, they're going to go to a friend's house and they're going to find it. You know, you have to be able to trust your kids. I mean, this is the way of the world. I hate to say that. But while they're in your home, you can restrict the times. I mean, I always tell parents, don't let your child have a computer in their room. Keep a computer outside somewhere in the house, whether it's in the dining room table or a kitchen area, where you get to see what your child is actually on and what kind of websites they're surfing. It's really important. As far as, you know, the video games are concerned, during the summer is one thing. You know, I think they can have a little more time. But during the school year, I tell parents to use the video game, you know, allowing video games after they finish their homework and to use that as reinforcement. Mm-hmm. You know, kids think they can just go and play video games like, you know, it's a luxury. Well, it you know, that like they can just do it, like they're allowed to have it, but they should have to work toward getting the time on the video, because then parents have something to hold over the head. Have you done your homework? Great. You earned an hour of playing, you know, your video games. That's why I think it needs to work, you know, quid pro quo. That's the way it needs to work.
I look at it also when I'm thinking about, you know, when both parents work, and I do a lot of my work is in the corporate environment. One thing that comes to my mind in addition is that it's not a bad thing for parents to maybe be a little bit flexible with their schedule if they're the work culture, let's say, or their supervisors, you know, allow it. But you know, the idea of, you know, rather than being out the door by 7:30, you know, maybe having some breakfast with the kids, or taking a half day and you know, getting involved, you know, with the kids in some kind of an activity, because most, you know, obviously the school sports, you know, really isn't happening. So I guess this is my message to, you know, parents that may be listening, that, you know, give yourself a little bit of slack too, and maybe take
Absolutely.
Some time out to enjoy, you know, with your kids, with your family. And again, it doesn't have to be expensive things. You mentioned, and I love this, again, your book is Parenting Unplugged, 365 fun, practical ways to get unplugged and connect with your kids. But you also have 60 free things to do with your kids. That's free, as in F-R-E-E. What are some of those things? What are some examples in addition to what you've mentioned?
Well, for example, I mean, something like even going, you know, to the park, you know, planting a garden together, going for a picnic, going on an overnight movie marathon, playing frisbee, washing the cards for charity, you know, go out and do some, you know, stargazing at night, make some banana splits together, go bike riding, make water balloons. I mean, there's just a million silly things that you can do that cost nothing. Some of the things the kids love to do is make a music video. They make their own music video.
Oh, I like that.
I mean, they can create a photo journal and then show you what they've done during the day. You can go hiking. You can go to an old age home and help to read to the older people. I mean, you write a play, write a song. I mean, there's a million things that you can do that are fun that don't cost anything.
And that's where I think technology actually can be a very positive thing. Like you said, mm-hmm. So compose something, via Rock Band or some of the other programs
right.
that are available. And
exactly. You know, when I was the spokesperson for Panasonic, you know, they wanted me to show parents how you can use technology. You know, just because I'm saying get unplugged, I think it's important to get unplugged in that example you used earlier, which was, you know, being in church and looking at your phone, which is a no-no. There are times that technology can be wonderful, even, you know, sitting and watching a movie together as a family, but then talking about it afterward. A child to make a music video to show their talents. Take a video with you, you know, your camera with you the whole day and make a story about the day in the life of your life and then bring it back and show it to your family. Playing Rock Band together as a family. Monopoly and all those kinds of games now are, you know, you can put on your big screen. You
That's
can play
right.
as a family.
Exactly. Yeah.
You
yeah
know?
Exactly. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with, and I completely hear you and agree with you that having a schedule, having some structure, but then maybe, you know, once a week, just having a day where, hey, there's nothing planned. Whoa.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Hey, just chill.
So, chill. Do whatever you want to do, and that could be the kids going off and playing dolls, or the older ones going out and playing basketball, or going to the beach, or you know, going for a hike, or you know, whatever it is. There's so many things to do, and we just forget. We just forget. Go on the swings. Go to a park and swing. It doesn't matter if you're 5 or 15 or 50. You know, just silly, silly, simple things. Getting back to the basics that we're all forgetting about. We're just forgetting about the basics.
Good stuff. And by the way, folks, if you want the 365 ideas from Dr. Cindy, get the book Parenting Unplugged: 365 Fun Practical Ways to Get Unplugged and Connect with Your Kids, or go to my website, thebusinessofliving.com. And check out the 60 free things you can do with your kids. Dr. Cindy, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to the Business of Living show. Remember, you only have one life. Why not live it on purpose? Thank you for joining me. See you next week here at 1490 WGCH. Thank you.